Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever and then talk about them. My name is Luke Condor, and that's with a K, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
And we have a regular sort of behind-the-scenes sometimes co-host, spreadsheet guy, Christmas horror movie expert, Mr. Andy Conduit Turner. How's it going, Andy?
Hey guys, I'm really good, thanks. Feeling festive.
You're good. As you can tell from the jumper, people on the audio feed are not, you know, can't bear witness to what we're seeing right now.
Scroll back here. It's the Christmasiest CSI to my own.
So it's a Christmas jumper with a T-Rex with a Christmas hat on, shooting a laser out of its mouth onto a Christmas tree. Said laser is then becoming Christmas lights.
Yeah, what a time.
It's a good effort. But,
yeah. Yeah.
Not your traditional Christmas jumper, but yeah, I thought I'd go with it. God bless the internet.
Luke, have you got Christmas pants on? Have you got pants made out of fairy lights right now?
We've got Christmas balls.
Oh yeah.
Dangling.
Very nice.
I don't really own any Christmas clothes. But I've always, you know, carrying that festive cheer.
It's on the inside.
Yeah.
Carrying that festive feeling deep in your gut.
Whereas Ben looks like he's in a complete like Christmas uniform. He's got the hat, the nipple singlets, I imagine. The Christmas jumper.
That's right. There we go. Exactly. Yeah. To be fair though, I'm in quite a warm room and this is quite a chunky knit. So I might be sweltering at some point. And if I derobe, then that's why, okay?
Okay, then we'll get the singlets out, like the tiny Santa hats, just on the ends.
Teeny tiny ones.
With little brown beards. We've all got booze, right? So Andy, I think, is the only one who brought the recommended alcoholic beverage.
Rocking the snowball.
Where did they come from? Because I'm sure like they didn't exist until 2 years ago, and now I seem to see them everywhere. And they taste fantastic.
I think everyone's grandma drinks them, so they must have had like a period in the Valley of Disinterest, like a lot of films, right? And they've just come back.
Yeah, like a deep cut. Yeah,
I don't think I've ever had a snowball.
Are you missing out? They're missing very, out. Very tasty.
Never. Well, why are they so good? Recommend them to me, please. Sell them to me.
Well, Andy, you've got one in your hand right now. What would you explain its flavour?
It's really hard. It tastes a bit like Christmas if you could turn it into a drink.
Yeah,
what else are you gonna use that avocado in your house for?
Yeah,
it's avocado and what else?
Lemonade. That's it. But it tastes really Christmassy. I don't know what it is about. I've never had eggnog either, and like I always see that in films, and I always think that looks like the kind of drink I would like to drink.
We've made some twice. Once it was really nice. The second time it accidentally became scrambled egg. The first time was much better.
Wait, so is it actually egg in there?
Yeah, it's made of like egg, milk, like enough sugar to kill you, and then you cook. It's really nice, warm.
Just straight egg, out egg the milk, and straight sugar.
Out. Just egg, and you milk, accidentally...
and sugar. Oh, and cognac and brandy.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And you accidentally made scrambled egg, but that's fine because breakfast sorted for the next day.
Just cognac-y scrambled eggs.
You made up some scrambled eggs and were like, oh, I suppose we're making eggnog. And then you like left the eggnog pan on its own. Yeah, popping some cognac, yeah. So today's episode is a little bit different. I think this might be the last episode of the year, I'm not too sure. It's the last episode before Christmas anyway. We're going to do 10 Christmas horror movies to watch this festive period. So we're going to be chatting about Christmas horror movies. We picked 10 different Crimbo Nasties from the DVD bin outside Tesco's. And we don't really have any plans ready. I think I've seen four of them. Ben's seen the same four, I believe. And Andy, as I said, he is a Christmas horror movie expert. I think he's... how many of you watched this past week?
I blitzed all 10. So,
Oh, wow.
I've not watched any nice Christmas films yet, or any television, or really done very much else.
I hope you enjoyed yourself. I hope it didn't become a job in itself. I hope like people have seen you outside the house recently. Like you just realize you're going to be on the show, and it's like you disappeared from your normal life.
Yeah, just vanished. Said, right, guys, I've got serious work to do. Yeah. These Christmas horror movies aren't going to watch themselves. How many will someone be stabbed by a sharpened candy cane? How many will there be Christmas lights involved? Surprisingly, quite a lot.
Is this like, hopefully this hasn't ruined Christmas for you this year, where anytime anyone brings out any fairy lights or candy canes or anything, you're not going to be instantly terrified in the corner. No, please.
No, I'll counteract it. I'll get onto like Jingle All the Way next week. It'll be fine.
Jingle All the
Pretty
Way.
Violent that's, as that's well, a good one.
Yeah, it's got some fight scenes in it.
Yeah. Got a big show in it.
A bum.
A bum.
Yeah.
It's the true spirit of Christmas, punching someone just because you want to
over a toy. Yeah.
So just out of curiosity before we jump in, Jingle All the Way, what other Christmas movies are your favourites other than Christmas horror movies, other than Jack Frost?
I'll Be Home for Christmas, where that kid from Home Improvement gets glued into a Santa suit. That's real good. The Grinch.
Yeah, The Grinch is great. I quite like that one.
For me, Home Alone 1 and 2. Not just my favorite Christmas films, but two of my favorite films ever. Films that I can just return to and just love. Somebody bought me a Home Alone storybook for Secret Santa, which I'm now showing on the video feed. It's aimed at kids, but I mean, I've already had at least 45 minutes worth of fun. It's just amazing. It's just the illustrations are fantastic. But yeah, I think for me, the film that really does capture the true spirit of Christmas. Yeah.
Home Alone 2 has one of my favourite scenes, I think, ever. I saw you smooching with my brother. Tim Curry say, I never.
So funny.
Cheeks, Bony Bab, Cliff. You've been smooching with everybody.
What a movie.
I'm afraid you're mistaken.
We love you.
I think it is definitely one of the most... It's one of the most quotable films, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's that classic story of that time when two hardened, violent criminals break into a family's house and meet an equally hardened, violent little kid.
In the book, there aren't bits where they threaten to murder him. Because they threaten to murder him. They go, I'm going to bite your fingers off one by one. I'm going to murder that kid. And everyone's like, yay, Christmas.
And there's like a Texas Chainsaw moment where they try and put him on the hook.
On the meat hook.
But someone did it. Someone made like a mashup where they, I haven't seen it, but it's like a video of all the like the painful bits. So they've added in like gore effects and stuff to make it look how it would do if it was actually like a real physical thing. Yeah, I need to try and find it, but it looked pretty gruesome. I saw it still, and it had the bit with Harry and Marv on the floor looking up, and their faces were sort of caved in. It looked really gruesome. Yeah.
I saw there's another video, I forget who put it up, but it's like, I think they had a doctor watch through it and say all the things that happened that would kill you.
Blowtorch to the head.
Yeah.
I mean, that probably wouldn't kill you, but I mean, you know.
The one that gets me is the nail. The nail when he steps on it. Is that Home Alone 2? When he stands on the tarry nail.
That's the first one. Home Alone 2 gets a little bit more violent, where people get like electrocuted, people like get a brick thrown at their head from like three stories up.
Yeah. It's a good aim, though.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Okay, cool. So, should we jump into our first film? We are looking at Krampus, which.
We all saw
this one. Yeah. Have you seen it before, Ben?
No, I haven't seen it before. It's always been one of those films that I kind of... I think I missed it when it was in the cinema. And then obviously, there's not like a release of a film. If it's just at the cinema at Christmas, it doesn't tend to get released until the year after. And I think by the time it got released the year after, I'd kind of like lost all interest in it. Yeah. But I've heard it's pretty good. So, but this was the first time I've seen it.
So IMDb says it's about a boy who has a bad Christmas, ends up accidentally summoning a festive demon to his family home. It's filmed by Michael Doherty. He did the Trick or Treat. You see Trick or Treat? That was pretty good.
I've not seen that, no.
What about you, Andy?
No, haven't seen that one. I've heard about it. Is it on Netflix right now?
I don't know. It's like, I don't know if it is, maybe not. But it's like a little Halloween anthology film. It's like surprisingly good. Like, it's one of those ones where you watch, you think it's going to be kind of shitty, but it's really well made. And I think Krampus, this film, this is the second time I've seen it, and I think it's almost a classic. It just, there's something that gets lost in it that doesn't quite work.
Yeah.
But what about you, Andy? You seen it before?
Yeah, I saw it. I think I caught it. It must have been the year after it was released, but they did have a run at the cinema here. And we went and saw it just before Christmas. And I remember I really enjoyed it, but it might have fallen a little bit short of being a classic because I think it was a little bit of hype. Like, I went in, a lot of people said, it's like Gremlins. Like, it's...
Yeah.
And it isn't quite that. But there's some really good bits in it.
I think it borrows a lot from a lot of classic Christmas films. I mean, it felt... There's a lot of Home Alone stuff where it's like, my God, you're having such a bad... You're surrounded by family that you hate. You kind of wish for something to... Do you know what I mean? It's almost like it does borrow heavily from that. But yeah, I could kind of see where the Gremlins-ish bits with obviously all Krampus...
The little gingerbread men as well, yeah.
Yeah, especially when they shoot the nail gun David Koecker's character. But yeah, I feel like it's almost... Like, it's a really well-made movie. I really like the tone. I really like the creature design. I think Krampus looks amazing. I really like Adam Scott in anything else.
He's very funny.
Since watching Step Brothers.
Derek.
Yeah, that's one of the funniest moments. Like, when he's doing the Guns N' Roses harmony, and the car just starts to swerve off the road. but yeah, it's a really good film. I just kind of feel like, I think it's maybe the middle's a bit muddy or something, or it's not. It's not quite horror-y enough, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like the ending just really kind of just peters off. It kind of just drops into nothingness. I think once you see Krampus up close, I think you kind of like lose a lot of the magic of it. Because I think it is a great creature design, but I think when you don't look him dead in the face, dead in the horrible mouth, I think then it starts to suffer a little bit. And I think a lot of the sidekicks, I mean, it is just pretty much CGI. It's very CGI heavy. I thought it was all right.
What about the it's like a Jack in the Box snake?
Yeah, I think that's the scariest thing, isn't it? That's horrible.
Yeah, that was good. That was quite obviously. That was almost like a Tremor meets a Jack in the Box thing. Yeah. Sort of like combined, just like this horrible, big, slivering, horrible mouthed beast.
I just think the second time I watched it. The first time I watched it, and I got a little bit bored halfway through. And this time I was with it a little bit more, but at the same time, I was just thinking, this middle bit where they just kind of hold up, it just gets a little bit like boring. I don't know.
It's almost like, oh my God, someone's gone missing, right? Now we have to go after them.
Yeah.
And then someone else has gone missing in the house. Now we have to go after them. It's a bit like that, separating them all. I thought it was pretty cool when everyone was asleep in the living room and the little gingerbread man comes down and yanks one of them up.
It's the little Augustus Gloop boy and takes him away.
Yeah. I feel like
I didn't quite understand the ending. Sorry, Luke. I didn't quite understand the ending though. I was a bit like,
well,
so it kind of like, it kind of gives you the,
oh, it's like a triple fake out, isn't it?
Yeah, a triple fake out. Yeah. And I was a bit like, well, I don't know. You kind of,
the way I understood it is, the boy kind of whisked Krampus into being by like, you know, throwing his letter to Santa when losing his Christmas spirit. And I think he's supposed to get out of it free, like his grandma did, but he decided he preferred to be with his family. He wanted them back, essentially, but so he went into the snow globe with them. He sort of, I don't know, they all sort of went in the end, and that's, I don't know, that's sort of how
and
it
then
ends.
Then you have like Groundhog Day Christmas forever. Is that like their punishment?
That was a rubbish Christmas. Awful.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you reckon? Do we recommend this one or not recommend?
Go on, Ben, go for it.
I think it's all right. Okay, I'd say recommend because it's a good sort of, if people don't know too much about the Krampus legend, obviously the German, is it German, isn't it?
I think it's
Germanish. Germanish.
I mean, if grandma's like, anyone to be believed, yeah.
I think this is quite different, though, isn't it, to the original Krampus legend? The original one is like he comes out on the 5th and hits bad kids with reeds. I mean, I don't think he puts them in snow globes, but
he's not murderous. No. I don't think there aren't too many alternative Christmas films like in the last, what, 5 or 6 years. So definitely worth a watch, I'd say. For sure.
What about you, Andy?
Yeah, I'd still recommend it. Like, there are some funny moments in it. It's got a really good cast of really funny people. If you ignore the bit in the middle and the fact that it bothers me that the grandma must speak English because they all speak to her in English and they understand German, but that aside.
Yeah. Did you have subtitles when she was speaking?
No.
Because I was, don't you hate that moment when you're watching a film and you're like, am I supposed to be knowing what's happening here?
Yeah.
Am I supposed to hear this? It was a bit like that. And then the boy was sort of like her interpreter.
Yeah. I would say if people like Krampus myth and stuff, there's a really good episode of Inside Number 9, the Christmas special. Have you seen Inside Number 9, Ben?
You've told me about it, so I do know about it, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, Rhys Shearsmith and Steve Pemberton from League of Gentlemen, and they did a Christmas episode where it's like an old, I think BBC used to do these sort of yearly ghost stories, which are kind of like low production value, but they were like they did one about a Krampus myth, and it's kind of simmers away throughout most of the story, and then right at the end, last like 10 seconds are really kind of brutal in like the best way. Have you seen it, Andy?
No, I've never even heard of that before. I'll have to check it out.
Inside Number 9, honestly, some of the episodes of that are so good. Yeah.
Write that down.
It is on Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on Netflix, yeah. The first two seasons, one of the episodes in season two wasn't a particularly like horror movie episode, but in terms of just like things that just kind of surprise you about how emotionally effective they are, it's really good. So yeah, I definitely recommend that. Okay, so number two on the list. Should we do one we've all seen, or should we jump to one of Andy's recommendations?
I wouldn't say recommend all of these.
Okay.
Should we go for an Andy one?
Okay, cool.
An Andy special.
This is one called Rare Exports. This is what IMDb say about it. In the depths of the Corvatuntory Mountains, 486 meters deep, lies the closest ever guarded secret of Christmas. The time has come to dig it up. This Christmas, everyone will believe in Santa Claus. I have no idea what this is about. I looked at the poster, and it looked like Santa Claus was in a cage. Yeah, I have no idea what's going on.
I have actually seen this, but I didn't watch it for this week's episode. I watched it maybe like 2 years ago.
Yeah. So, Andy.
Yep.
So, what is what's happening? Why is Santa in a cage?
Okay, so it starts this excavation team and they're drilling down into this mountain, the Northern Territory somewhere, and they find there's a hollowed out bit under the mountain, and they imply that they found like Santa Claus's burial site, so where he's dead and he's been buried all this time. So it starts at the beginning of December, and then they've got all this time to excavate him and take Santa, and this company. This strange man knows he's there and he wants to capture him because he's been frozen in ice this whole time. And then it starts with, it mostly follows these kids and one of the boys in particular is dad. And the kids start disappearing and he's investigating because he's been reading up and he knows that it's Santa Claus. And then it follows a little bit of the Krampus myth, I guess, as well, that Santa Claus is this person who beats naughty kids rather than... but he boils them in oil and stuff instead of hitting them with reeds.
Is it quite a gruesome horror movie?
No, it's not very graphic at all. It's got some spooky moments in it, and it's things are implied, but there's not very much graphic murder type things in it. Mm. But actually, it's really good. I really enjoyed it.
Santa's more just like a sort of an elderly man who's a bit withered, really. Isn't this.
I got confused with this one and the Goldberg one. Just because I saw this guy with a bald head and I thought, is that Goldberg? That's Gilbert.
Goldberg's still to come.
Yeah. Okay, so Andy, so for that one, recommend or not recommend? I'm going to go with recommend just because I've never seen it and why not?
I'd recommend it. It's pretty sweet. It's pretty funny. If subtitles don't put you off, because there are some English speakers in it, but the majority of the dialogue is in, I'm not good enough at languages. It's a Nordic language,
like a Scandinavian sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
As far as I remember, I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was, again, a good alternative sort of like Christmas film. I remember it being quite action heavy, if I remember. There was a bit of action
There's a fair bit of action, and there's some, especially towards the end, where it really starts kicking off. But also the dialogue's quite funny as well, and I think the dad of the main character is like a butcher, so it can be quite, as you can imagine, it's quite graphic in those parts. But for the most part, the Santa guy getting the kids is sort of off screen.
The main child actor is pretty cool as well, if I remember right.
Yeah.
He's good. He knows what's up.
So we recommend that one. In terms of budget, what's the production quality like on this?
Yeah, I think it's shot pretty well, and I think they get away with not having to have that many effects in there. They have a helicopter, so must have spent a bit on that.
Cool. Okay, so that's two down. We've got eight to go. Should we do? In fact, let's do one we've all seen. Let's go with the original Black Christmas. So this is about, during their Christmas break, a group of sorority girls are stalked by a stranger. It's by Bob Clark, and it's we asked on the Facebook group as well what they thought about this film, or just general films. And Edward Harvey said, Black Christmas, pretty creepy slasher. The pioneer babysitter slasher, really, as it came before Halloween, and many say inspired Halloween. It's not better than Halloween, but you have to respect the first of its kind. I saw this last Monday, on a semi-big screen. It was one of those sort of projectors that you sort of have in school assemblies.
Yeah.
But it was really good. I really enjoyed it. It's, I don't know, it's... kind of slow, I guess, but just because it's, you know, an older film, a little bit on a cliff edge. And but the scary bits, there's one bit I genuinely said aloud, like, oh my God, because there's a few scary bits in it. It really got to me. Yeah. Have you, what about you guys? Have you seen this before? Is this a regular play for you?
After you, Andy?
I don't watch it regularly. I've seen it a few times. I don't think it's not quite in that area of slasher movies that's, got like a, you know, like an amusing edge to it. It is quite dark.
Yeah.
Lots of plastic bag murders and obscene phone calls. But it is really good. Like, I think Ed's right. Like, the you've got to respect what it built in terms of the genre as well. But it's an enjoyable film. It is genuinely creepy in a lot of parts as well. I found the phone call bits quite disturbing.
Yeah. You don't really know where to like hang your hat with it, because it seems to like change every time. To like he's saying something, he's in a different voice, or no idea what the hell he's saying most of the time. But it's I feel like there's a tongue sort of about to come through it and sort of lick you. It's
like in Freddy Krueger style. Either that, or the murderer is Michael Winslow from Police Academy. He do all the voices.
Yeah, there was some pretty gruesome like dialogue when he was sort of talking to him on the phone. He was a bit risky, wasn't he?
You can't say that in the 70s.
I know. I mean, there were some great 70s hairdos, some fantastic 70s glasses.
Yeah.
Lois
Lane in it as well.
Yeah, Margot Kidder.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Her death scene was went down a treat in the film night I went to. Like, it's kind of poetic. And it's just everyone was kind of like, because I didn't know who was going to be like the final girl, or, you know, who was going to make it through, and I kind of thought she was going to
be the one,
but no, it's a little bit tragic. I kind of want
it is odd, it. Odd for a slasher film for you not to really see the threat ever.
Yeah,
that's not.
Is he in it at all?
Well, you see his a hand as well,
an eye.
There's really like a really.
He's always off screen. Yeah. He's got a really long arm that reaches down the stairs and just pulls someone back up.
Also, they did the whole thing with it's told from his POV, like a lot of him sort of sneaking around. It's quite interesting. That... Yeah, if you think about how big those cameras were back then, I've no idea how they did that. It's a good one.
What was the tape to his head?
What was the So it's just a bit. The only negative I can think is a little bit slow paced. I mean, Ben, you have the cliff that we talk about generally. How was it for you?
I think I'm usually all right in the 70s.
Okay. Once you get to 1969,
yeah. 1969, I go straight down the elevator shaft. Help me! Yeah, I thought it was just good. I thought like some of the police officer characters were a little bit ridiculous, especially the dude who was taking down a telephone number and she said fellatio, and he just went, "How do you spell what? That?"
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was pretty funny. But then there was a police officer laughing in such a way which made me think he's the killer. But then they never really followed up with that. He was laughing. I was like, hang on a minute. He's laughing the same way as the killer does. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a few red herrings in there. It's funnily like the only thing I can think of where they just sort of finished with, yeah, he's in there. He's about to do another kill.
Is this the first time in horror history that we've had the caller is inside the house?
Well, I was going to ask that.
That always gets me because they'd be engaged, wouldn't they? If they're inside the house, you pick up that landline. You'd be, someone's on the phone already.
Yeah,
can't get through.
Back in those days, anyway, at least.
I think you could. I'm just trying to think about how those kind of phones work. I think you could put the phone up, and then someone else could pick it up, and you could talk, right? But you couldn't
ring your own house.
He was doing the noise.
Michael Winslow.
Phone ringing in the loft.
We've cracked it.
He could throw his voice as well. Hang on a minute, that's a telephone. Hello? I'm going to eat your...
Yeah, but like I said, I think this is really good. I really enjoyed it. I don't know if I'd... Like, when I was at the thingamajobby, they were saying... This is a film that people watch every year, and I'm like, I don't think many people watch this every year. Like, it's good.
People who hate Christmas.
I've got the family round. What are you going to put on then? Well, luckily for all of you, including children.
Why are you going in the attic?
Ring, 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 ring. Phone's ringing.
Hello.
I'm definitely going to recommend it for at least a go. What about you guys?
Yeah, definitely worth a squirt.
I'd recommend it, but say you don't have to watch it at the joyous festive time of Christmas. Watch it in the dismal days of mid-January. It's fine.
That's absolutely fine. It's another film that happens at Christmas. Even got Christmas in the title, which you don't have to watch at Christmas. Obviously, like including Die Hard and the Christmas classic Iron Man 3.
Yeah,
put those on the same list.
I think that's a good point. Yeah.
Watch The Hunt for Red October in the summer as well, Ken. It's not always the title that's important.
Hang on a minute. Well, better wait a few months.
Yeah. Ben, I've noticed you've taken off the thick knit.
I could feel like some sweat beginning to dot on my head, and you know, it makes me tired, Luke. I think I've done a whole podcast with you before while almost falling asleep. I'm not sure what episode it was, but it was when I was wearing too many layers. So you know,
it'll be one of those black and white films.
I'm down to just a t-shirt now, and I'll be fine for the rest. Thanks for worrying about it.
For the older films, you should just come in your pants, and you haven't got the layers then to weigh you down.
I should just come in my pants, you just said.
Is anyone that's going to chop that audio down? That'll come back to haunt you.
You should just come in your pants. I mean, I will, but you know.
Well, they see now, Ben, you've given them a clean edit to do as well.
But that's fine. I'm always happy to help.
I'm going to auto-tune that to a song, to a Christmas jingle.
Not again. Should we cover the remake next?
That's what I've got next on the list here. Yeah.
Easy enough to fuck it through that.
So, is it called Black Xmas or Black Christmas? Because on IMDb it just says Black Christmas 2006. Yeah.
I've seen it both on the DVD covers. I saw this at the cinema when it came out as well, but before I saw the original, it's not that bad. It's a pretty different film. There are still some obscene phone calls. Oddly enough, in 2006, the phone calls are slightly less obscene than in the
story, though. From what I saw the trailer.
A lot of people get their eyes put out in
How less obscene are we talking? It's just like, you're all a bunch of bloody idiots. Oh, you idiots.
Yeah, he sometimes phones and says, "Where's the baby, Billy?" Ah, but nothing. Nothing like that.
So I saw him like making like a gingerbread whatever you call it, a cutter.
And
he's cutting gingerbread shapes out of people's backs and baking like skin cookies or something.
Yeah, he does a bit of that. And so he does a bit of getting people in the eyes. He can have someone's eyes out like that faster than the guy from 28 Days Later who had to put some real effort into it. He'll have your eyes out as soon as look at you.
Yeah. Probably practiced by like shucking oysters or something all the time.
Yeah. All that time living in the attic all that time.
So this one, it's got Michelle Trachtenberg, Dawn from Buffy, and Mary Elizabeth Winstead. What do you reckon? Is it a good one? Is it worth watching? It, to me, like from the trailer, it looked like a 90s slasher, but set in this idea of the Christmas house.
It's a perfectly acceptable 90s slasher made in 2006. So it's a good second tier slasher. It's up there with your I Know What You Did Last Summer and the like.
Okay, cool.
I like I Know What You Did Last Summer.
In that case, you'll love.
I will love a film
for you. That and Scream were like two of my first VHS video things that I ever owned. I think I was quite young as well. Yeah,
but, that's a good slasher.
Yeah,
I Know What You Did Last Summer. It's like the who's who of 1990s
television
stars. It's just like
Sarah Michelle Gellar,
Jennifer Love Hewitt,
Freddie Prinze Jr.
It's like the dream team,
and they all get killed, right? I think I can't remember how that one ends.
Not sure. There was a sequel, wasn't there? I Know What You Did Last Summer.
It ends on a boat. I watched it on Netflix not long ago. It ends on a boat, and the hook man gets dragged away, and then Jennifer Love Hewitt is in a steamy shower at the end, and someone's written, "Still no."
Oh God! I still know in the steam.
Yeah,
hook,
that's it.
Hook man in his Mac in the shower with a hook. Oh
my yeah. God. He's been to a uni where the showers are that hot in dorms.
Yeah, there we go. Exactly.
So the next one I've got on the list. I think we should do another. Let's do another of Andy's recommendations.
Which one should we tick off?
But this one, Dan Butcher, friend of the show, he when we asked like for Christmas films, he says Silent Night, Deadly Night. It is total shit, sadly.
So you'd be right.
But this is one that people always like. I always see popping up on like Facebook groups and stuff. Silent Night, Deadly Night. IMDb says after his parents are murdered, a tormented teenager goes on a murderous rampage dressed as Santa. Due to his state at an orphanage where he was abused by the mother superior. I don't know anything about this film. I've not even looked at the trailer. I just know that, and it keeps popping up. So is it shit?
It's pretty bad.
Low budget.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, it's fairly low budget. If I want to sound like a bleeding heart, it's quite mean-spirited.
Okay.
And I think it could be solved at any stage with someone explaining something to someone. Like, so he sees his parents get killed by a Santa.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a pretty bad thing to happen. That could mess you up. But maybe someone would sit down with him and say, "Wasn't really Santa, mate. It was a bad man. Happened to be dressed as Santa." But it appears that years go by, and then he's really bothered in this orphanage by seeing a Santa. And the mother superior goes, no, you'll sit on Santa's lap. And by the way, Santa always punishes naughty kids. So then later on, when he ends up with a Santa hat on, again, at Christmas, when someone forces, he's got a job and someone's forced him to dress as Santa. Not the point that when they're taking him on the job, someone says, "Watch him around Christmas time because he's taking him on as a favour to us at the orphanage here." And he gets a bit funny around Christmas time because of the murders. No, just crack on. and then he goes around. He says the word punish a lot. And then kills people in festive ways, like with an axe or with strangling.
So you say he's mean-spirited. It's not like a funny,
a lovely bit of festive strangling.
It's not like funny deaths.
No, it's on balance. It's not outrageous enough to just be funny. It's funny because it's a little bit dated, and the budget isn't incredibly high.
Is it 80s?
Yes, I think so. Like 84, maybe.
Okay. So the effects, are we talking like Tom Savini level 80s effects or not? Or like
I'd say sub early Friday the 13th level.
Wow, okay, yeah.
Like loads of clothes that someone's filled with stakes getting smashed with hammers.
Okay,
so filled with stakes, medium or right down.
Is this the first one where you're saying not recommend?
If a fine podcaster has presented you with a list of 10 and you're only gonna watch some of them, I'd give this one a miss.
Okay, give it a miss. But the next one on the list, I personally am just gonna come right out of it and say don't give it a miss. Is my favourite thing I've seen recently is Jack Frost.
Like, yes.
I don't know why I just loved it so much. I just wasn't expecting to. Because it's kind of like you go in there and it's got like stock Christmas, like royalty free music, and it's like really cheesy. It's got 7% of Rotten Tomatoes. The death scenes are insane, the murder scenes and stuff. I just really enjoyed it. I don't know why. And the kid, I'll go into it a bit more, but okay, so Jack Frost, I think this is maybe one of your favorite movies ever, Andy. Is that
like, fair? I've watched Jack Frost more times than I care to remember. I've got it that I watch. I think it's one of my Christmas movies that I watch every year. It's got a sequel, which is a summer holiday movie. So it's an evergreen franchise.
So this is what IMDb has to say about it. After an accident that left murderer Jack Frost, he's already called Jack Frost. This isn't a name he takes up. Jack Frost dead in genetic material. The vengeful killer returns as a murderous snowman to exact his revenge on the man who sent him to be executed. It's just, I mean, there's like a weird like snowman competition. None of the snow looks real. Like,
yeah. The snow is like
like cut like
a polystyrene balls. Yeah, it is like that. And,
yeah,
and it's like the sun is like blaring down on all these things. Like, we're just making a lovely snowman here.
In the town called Snowminton.
Snowminton. The guy, the main character, the actor, I kind of like feel for him because he's really trying. I think for a lot of the film, he's like really putting a lot into it. And I just think, I don't think he realizes how this is going to come out.
Yeah.
People
it's almost
watching.
Like sometimes really horrific things happen and it's like really slapstick. So like a kid gets pushed over by the evil Santa Claus, by the evil snowman.
Yeah.
And has his head lopped off by like a sled. By a sledge and his head goes flying.
Yeah.
And the kid, and it cuts to the little kid who was also there and he goes, "It wasn't me." Someone's just been decapitated in front of you.
In the same instant, someone had like a lot of fun with like the ADR, like the voiceovers at the end. There's loads of little things, like when they're talking about the kid, the dad's like crying, like saying he was only this tall, and then someone outside goes, "Not anymore, he ain't." There's loads of little voices like that coming in. Now later on, when the main guy is sort of going through this like hotel, like motel or something, he's knocking all the doors. There's people getting like whipped. There's people like just a lot of sex noises basically. But
this film was it's the first time I've ever seen it, but I kind of knew what to expect just from the DVD cover which I saw.
The DVD cover looks great, but it doesn't look anything like that. Like, no, why did he doesn't. Why did he make
He never has sharp teeth. He's like, what's going on? It's awful. It's utterly awful. You could spend hours picking it apart, but at the same time, it's pretty entertaining.
I think that one of my favorite bits was the Christmas tree murder.
Yes.
When he's like, like the music that comes on is like so not fitting with that particular moment, and I just couldn't stop chuckling when he keeps like shoving a face into the ball balls.
Oh, the box of ball balls.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, he kind of looks like a snowman, maybe like a snowman you'd see like at a grotto in shopping center or something. But when it's a POV, the snowman's hands are just cuddly toys. There's oven gloves. There's white oven gloves.
Yeah. The way they kill him at the end is with antifreeze, and the only way you find that out is because a kid made his dad some oats for the day. And he put antifreeze in his dad's oats to warm him up for the day.
Can you imagine?
That's how you
Jeff
kill people.
If the murderer hadn't come back.
Like, I know, he's going to die anyway. But isn't that how they, in Sixth Sense, that's what they put in the porridge, to poison the...
Like, a little bit in the soup, isn't it?
Yeah. Antifreeze will do you in straight away, because apparently... Yeah. I did forensics, it's not something I've researched independently.
It is something I have researched independently for a...
But apparently antifreeze tastes lovely.
Oh, really?
Tastes lovely, okay. But will blind and paralyze and make you be fucked up to death.
Yeah, it's apparently a really good way of killing people.
I'd put some in your oats to warm you up. Dead.
Yeah, I mean... I am going to say I'll recommend it. I just think it's in terms of, like, it's kind of film you put on with a load of people around the house.
Yep.
A bit of eggnog on the go, whatever that tastes like.
It also stars, it's also got Shannon Elizabeth from American Pie.
Yes. Like,
does she get raped? Is it a rape in the shower?
Well, in the bath. That he sort of goes in the bath and then appears in the bath. And he kind of, I don't know if he's trying
pushes
to do
her
something.
Against the wall.
It's kind of ambiguous, but the carrot is not on his nose during that scene.
Exactly.
So I think that's what it's implied.
And then when she falls down dead, he says, "Was it good for you?"
Yeah, and then he's smoking to send flowers.
Yeah, and then he's smoking a pipe.
Yeah. I only asked you for a smoke. Oh, there's so many little puns.
He's got a strong pun game. Yeah, my favourite thing about Jack Frost, and it is a slight pick to it, but before, obviously, you know, the sheriff has all those flashbacks when he sees those letters that Jack Frost's been sending him.
Saying, the one on the wall,
I'll find a way to kill you. But I love it how he's written them in newspaper, but still signed them. It's like, Sheriff, I will kill you, Jack Frost. Just write it in pen.
Well,
who's
all those letters,
then?
and his wife says, "I thought you threw them away." He says, "Well, I didn't," and he puts them away. Later on, it's like one of them just on a corkboard in the office. Like, so it must just be like it's framed on the wall.
Put that
He's
on
obsessed
fridge.
With them.
Yeah, yeah.
Get off kids' report cards, Jack Frost.
Yeah, throw that away. I'd recommend it. I mean, what about you, Andy?
I would heartily recommend. If I was going to recommend any film from this dispute, get your family around and have a jolly good time.
It's definitely the kind of film you want to watch with friends, don't you, this?
Yeah.
You want to watch this film with friends. And just...
Get your snowballs, get your nog.
Can you imagine writing the script in this? I bet the guy couldn't stop laughing, chuckling to himself as he was writing this. This is so stupid. But, moving on then. So there's one that I've not heard of until, I think, Andy, you put it on Twitter. That you're going to watch it. And I think Tom Ward piped up and said, it's shit.
Yeah. He watched it every year.
It's called Sint or Saint. I'm not completely sure.
I think whether you translate it or not, I think it's written down Sint on the poster that I've seen for it.
Okay. So it says here, a horror film that depicts St. Nicholas as a murderous bishop who kidnaps and murders children when there is a full moon on December the 5th. It's written and directed by a guy called Dickmas. I don't know if that's like...
What?
It's written down by a guy, Dickmas.
Dickmas?
It's just a nickname. His name is Richard Mouse.
I was like, is that like a...
Oh yeah, it is. His name is Dickmas. Dickmas.
Dickmas. Yeah.
And it's produced by someone called Tom DeMol. That's not funny, but... Dickmas?
Yeah. And his girlfriend is called Dickmas Eve.
I can't move on from this. I can't move on from the man called Dickmas.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he's literally thinking, I'm going to have to make a, got to make a Christmas film with my name's Dickmas.
Yeah. Andy, do you want to tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, so another one for the subtitle crowd. The version of it I was watching didn't have any subtitles, or I couldn't find a way to switch them on. So I had a conversation with Tom about it, actually, and he said, I said, OK, I'll see what I can do with my GCSE German. He pointed out that it was in not in German, so that wouldn't help me very much. I think it's
trying to translate all
again,
this.
It's in, I think it's in Dutch.
Ich bin confused again.
Yeah, but oddly enough, that Dutch? Being said, enough words were similar that, you know, occasionally they'd say a number, because, ha, seven. I know that. Following this plot nicely. There are some funny, like, gory scenes in it, particularly when Bad St. Nicholas's ghost horse gets shot, falls off a roof and crushes a car with policemen in it. So, okay, the horse is fine. There are some awkward bits in it. There is some awkward racism. There is a little bit of blacking up, which...
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, which maybe it flies differently. On the continent,
a little bit blacking up. Well, I think that there is some sort of traditional Dutch festival, or there's something traditional Dutch where blacking up is still quite common. Every year I still sort of see pictures of it and people saying people are still doing this in Netherlands.
Are they supposed to? I mean, you know, look like black people when they do this, or is it just a sort of?
From what I could gather from the film, I couldn't really understand, even with my GCSE grade C in German.
So did you see the actual process of blacking up?
They're getting ready to go to a Christmas party, and one of them is dressed like bad Santa Claus, and then his two friends, I guess they're his helpers, but they don't last very long. They're not in it for very long, and just the guy dressed as Sint carries on for the rest of the movie.
So he's a murderous bishop. He kidnaps and murders children when it's a full moon.
And so he does.
the box art is quite like looks kind of dark. Is it? Yeah. You know, that way. It sounds pretty dark.
The box art kind of looks like a Rammstein album.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah.
The Rammstein Christmas album.
Nevermore, the Christmas album.
Have you heard that band Ghost?
No, I think so. No.
You definitely need to check out this band Ghost. So basically, the front man of this band looks like that. He's dressed as a bishop, got like black and white makeup on.
Got a big staff. Ah,
okay.
Song.
Yeah.
Yeah. they're actually really good. Like, it's not like death metal or anything. It's kind of like quite easy listening, sort of heavy rock. But definitely check them out. They're good. Little plug for them.
Since recommend or not recommend?
Oh, go on. I'll tell you what. Give it a go.
Give it a go.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what. Give it a go.
Give it a go. It is, as Tom pointed out, it is terrible.
Okay.
But the gore and the killings and the fighting, the sort of zombie followers that Sint has is quite slapstick, sort of like brain dead levels of slapstick, you know, arms and legs being chopped all over the place, and some of the scenes are quite nicely put together. But
and in terms of budget level, what are we looking at here? Is it kind of super low micro budget?
It's cheap, but it's not a micro budget. They spent a bit on it, and the, you know, it's shot reasonably well. They blow up a boat, so again,
yeah.
Got some money to burn.
It's just Lego. That's all it was. It was just a Lego boat. Just a bang.
So
one little banger.
Just gonna do another one from Andy, and then we've got the next one on the list. So Johan in the Facebook group said it's got a few suggestions for stuff we can talk about Christmas, but Santa's sleigh needs to be one just for the sheer idea of seeing professional wrestler Goldberg playing an evil Santa. So Santa Claus is actually a demon who lost a bet with an angel, so becomes the giver of toys and happiness. But when the bet is off, he returns to his evil ways. I didn't know this existed until I think I saw some box art somewhere or Johan talking about it. Andy, is this another of your favourite yearly watches?
No, I had my first watch of this for the podcast this week. Oh, right, so okay. I had a watch of it, and it has its moments. There are some, it's really slapstick and over the top. As you can imagine, anything, as a rule, when you get someone in who's a wrestler, they can do like a charismatic performance. They can do some over the top, like smashing through walls and like picking up normal sized people and throwing them about the place.
I don't think of Goldberg as a particularly animated person. Did you ever watch wrestling?
He's just super aggressive, isn't he? That's kind of his shtick. His shtick is just he's screaming all the time and roaring and spitting. I don't know if he spits.
What happened to him? Because I remember like back in WCW, he was like on a 250 match streak. Like he'd just win ludicrously all the
time. Yeah, I think it's still like one of the biggest, one of the longest streaks in professional wrestling history. I think there's like a female wrestler called Asuka in WWE NXT who came close fairly recently to equaling it, but I think his is still the one.
It's quite a thing, really. If you're looking with your contract with the boss of wrestling, Mr. McMahon, okay, here's my new gimmick. My thing is, I'll never lose.
Yeah.
Good idea.
I like it. But I mean, like, that must make matches a bit boring. I remember using the WCW matches with him. For some reason, I was still kind of excited every time he came in, even though I knew he was going to win.
Yeah. Would he ever do some of those things? Like, oh, you did lose, but it was a disqualification, so you didn't really lose.
I don't know.
Exactly, that's probably what they did all the time. But then again, he came up against a few big names like Sting and DDP and that, where it kind of almost looked like, wait a minute, he's going to lose here. This is going to be it. The dream is dead. He's still knocking about, though. He wrestled at like WrestleMania this year.
Has he still got it?
His matches are incredibly short.
Okay.
His last match he lost, but he beat Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series last year in like a minute or something.
Yeah. So he lost, and he's like, I don't like this anymore.
I don't like it.
Quitting. I've got to be in a Christmas movie.
I think even when he came into WWE, he still kind of always won. That was his thing.
Weird. So Santa Slay.
Good thing to have.
So comical. Goldberg, does Goldberg win in the end?
No, I'm afraid he loses. So that's probably where we went back to the wrestling.
Yeah. Okay. So recommend or not recommend?
I would say if you want your hit of evil Santa played by a wrestler, the opening scene of this will give you all you need to. It's like a dinner party with some recognizable faces from sort of American comedy TV.
Okay.
And then like basically he comes down the chimney and kills them all, and it's a complete throwaway scene that bears no importance to the rest of the movie. But
to like entrance music with like pyrotechnics.
There are pyrotechnics, but he just comes down the chimney, and okay. I think it comes down to some, I'm imagining like a rock version of a Christmas song. And then he comes down and like stabs the dad's hands to the table with the knife and fork from the turkey carving, and then blows eggnog on fire into someone's face, and then like snaps like a chair leg off and like beats someone else to death with it. Like, just watch that first 10 minutes and then you've got all you need to from that movie. And Claire from Lost is in it for the whole movie.
Is that the girl who's also in Hills of Eyes?
Yes, I think it is. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
What year was Santa Slay made?
Sounds recent, doesn't it?
2005, so it's not that long ago at all.
What is the most recent film on? I guess Krampus that came 2015.
Yeah, Krampus.
Yeah, that's in a couple of years. I mean, Goldberg looks pretty badass. He looks a bit strange with hair, but he does look pretty badass as Evil Santa.
So we recommend at least the first 10 minutes for that one.
Yeah, watch the first 10 minutes and then see how long you get after that. You won't miss anything if you give up.
Okay, so the next one on the list is the one that seems to get like named number one, crowned number one of like Christmas horror movies. It's Gremlins, which I think we've all seen probably multiple times.
Yeah.
Boy inadvertently breaks three important rules concerning his new pet and unleashes a horde of malevolently mischievous monsters on a small town. Directed by Joe Dante. Zach Galligan has actually been touring around England recently screening The Gremlins. I don't know why what's so special about it this year, but Gremlins, I mean, it's a stone cold classic. It's just one of those films that you watch like on get a VHS, you sort of watch it and repeat over and over again as a kid.
Hmm.
But
and it's not just the exclusively Christmas film either. It's one of those films you can watch.
Yeah, you can watch Gremlins anytime, couldn't you?
Yeah, is Gremlins 2 at Christmas?
That's what I was going to ask.
A day at the office, isn't it? Oh, Gremlins 2.
Yeah.
I think Gremlins 2. I still think I prefer it. I don't know. I think it's just got a few scenes that just linger in my mind a lot more. There's a bit where the guy, the talking Gremlin. Just like he starts to like spaz out and he goes, I think you're fine. Well, he's got like a really posh voice. He's so good. And also
the musical number.
So Tommy Draper in the group said, I watch Gremlins every December. A movie that has always scared and made me laugh ever since seeing it back in the 80s, Christmas classic. I watched this again a couple of weeks ago. I did fall asleep a little bit in the middle. But like I said, it's just such like a comforting movie, and it was kind of actually kind of scary in places. Like there's a bit where they're attacking the mum in the kitchen, and I thought she was actually going to get hurt here.
I think when the gremlins sort of go into their little cocoons and the little eggs,
I always find that
really horrible.
When they're coming out and they're
all the sort of dry ice that. It comes out when they're so. I mean, it is pretty amazing. I know what you mean about the middle of the film. I think in the middle of the film, when the gremlins are kind of like running rampant on the town.
Yeah. They go to the bar and stuff.
It gets a little bit repetitive for me at that point, but I think everything that sort of like bookends it is great. And I think the morphology of gremlins is great. And it's almost really surprising that we haven't seen more of it.
I think they've just greenlit a third one, haven't they? They're
talking
like,
about it, yeah.
Last couple of months, and they've. Because I know the sticking point for a long time was that Joe Dante would only agree to do another one if they would agree to do it with practical effects. And the studios would always say, no, CGI. So he said, fine.
I can already see a CGI gremlin in my head, and I'm not a fan. Yeah.
But apparently they've agreed. So if things don't change, we're on for a third one with proper gremlins in it, and it'll be a wonderful time.
Because it could go in so many different, it could go in so many different directions. Yeah. It could happen in so many different places. There's just like so much you could do with it because it is a very basic but unique premise.
Like it's full on punk. Like just an irreverent sort of let's just do whatever. Like in the second one, did he go to the cinema again, or is it just the first one?
There's a bit in the second one. The second one goes mental, doesn't it? And it cuts as if the film reel has been stolen. And then it cuts outside the film to a cinema where Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
That's right. Because Gremlins.
It's Hulk Hogan, yeah.
The Gremlins are sort of breaking the film or trying to change the reel or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's like Deadpool. It's like, you know, that sort of self reflective.
Breaks the fourth wall.
Exactly. Yeah. But maybe that's why they've been touring it then, because they're
trying to
Gremlins
get the
3.
Traction for the new one.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
It just seems like having a Mogwai though. I mean, I know obviously the shopkeeper doesn't want to sell it to him, but so much effort. Can't get it wet. Can't let it see sunlight.
How does that work? You can't get it wet. How does it drink?
And you can't feed it after midnight. I kept thinking about time zones and stuff.
That's the brilliant thing, isn't it? Because they have that exact conversation in number two when Billy's trying to explain it to the guys in the control room and they say, oh, what about a time zone and how does it drink? And then I think a massive gremlin bursts out and punches the smart ass guy.
Well, that's it. I would have deserved a punch from Stripe.
I really want to play Gremlins 2 again now. I remember like once we had out on VHS and you know the tracking sort of goes on the VHS video. Oh. You've got like lines sort of constantly on the screen. We had one like that and it was just broke. Like, I couldn't track it into place. We just kept doing the lines. I didn't mind. Just watched it over and over again.
That's
like,
not part of the film.
So good. I mean, in terms of recommend or not recommend, I'd definitely recommend it. I really want Gremlins 2 again now.
I think you have to.
And the last one, the last film on our 10 list is Elves.
Well,
so I didn't even look at the posters or anything. I just read the synopsis. So it says, a young woman discovers that she is the focus of an evil Nazi experiment involving selective breeding and summoned elves, an attempt to create a race of supermen. She and two of her friends are trapped in a department store with an elf, and only Dan Haggerty as a renegade as the renegade loose cannon Santa Claus can save them.
A renegade loose cannon.
He didn't play Santa by the rules then.
There's so many things in that. They were like, we just need some cool keywords and let's just make a film out of it. It's insane. So what is it about, Andy?
So as the synopsis suggests, there is a girl, she's a normal teenager doing normal teenage things, hanging out at the mall after it's closed by sneaking in. And then these elves want to come and try and impregnate her because that will allow them to birth the Nazi Übermensch. But
sounds insane.
But only Grizzly Adams as a renegade Santa Claus can save the day, and he is straight on board with her story, and he's going to protect her from these Nazi elves. And he punches up a load of Nazis, including her granddad, who's also her father, and her mom is in it, and she's really cruel and literally turns on a dime from it. Oh, I was really worried that you almost got killed. I bet that's because you're a fucking slag, though. And then,
it's fair enough.
While she's out down the mall, drowns a cat in the toilet. That's just her mom to be horrible. And she's got like a really creepy little brother as well. Like the main character goes to have a shower early in the film, and then when she comes out, there's like an 8-year-old boy going, "Oh, you've got cracking tits." And she actually says, "You got my brother, you little creep," and he goes, "I don't care." It is the weirdest film.
Jesus.
It's on YouTube, so you can watch it on there for free or not, as the case may be.
1987.
To be fair, these elves look pretty terrifying now.
They're pretty horrid elves.
They're not like elves, they're just like horrible, disgusting aren't they?
Kind of like wet boglins.
Yeah. I quite like the VHS box art for it, like the hand, little evil hand coming out of the
It's very Gremlins-y, the box art, isn't it?
Yeah, the box art's really good. But I did see the trailer. I didn't watch it, unfortunately. But from the trailer, I mean, it was crazy. It would look like it was... What budget are we talking with this?
Given the time it
$40.
So, I don't know. I'd probably go into old money. I think it probably cost about 6D to make.
Sixpence.
Okay, so that's the last one. So are we recommending that one or not recommending?
I'm going to go with a hot no on that one. Like I say, it's on YouTube, so spend 10 minutes just clicking through it and you'll be fine.
Good. I might do that just to sort of get a better picture of it.
Absorb the magic. I will, slight spoilers for elves if you intend to watch it, but don't worry, the cat drowning abusive mother does get it.
He does. There's an elf killer. An elf.
Yeah, he wangs the radio in the bath while she's having a scrub.
There's a lot of baths and showers and stuff.
It's a good way to die. It's a good way to get a murder in there. I've got some trivia. I don't know if you guys want to see how we did it before.
Oh, yes.
Always another bit of trivia.
Okay, number one. So each gremlin from the movie Gremlins cost around $30,000 to $40,000 to make.
Wow. It seems like a lot. But I suppose what was going on? I mean, it was just like it seemed like a pretty basic animatronic. It was like a Furby or some shit, wasn't it?
I think they're pretty good. It's for Senor Spielbergo, isn't it?
Yeah, let's go true with that.
And true.
Yeah, true. Maybe that's why the studio were like saying for number three, like it's too expensive. Then again, I mean, how much more or less would it be to do CGI? I don't know. Maybe to have the model already.
You know how much it costs to CGI a mustache off? Can you imagine how it takes?
The thing is, like, if they cost $30,000 to $40,000, you'd be like, keep them safe somewhere. So we can use them in the future.
And then again, okay, I'm going to kill this one. No, don't do anything that'll damage this expensive puppet.
But apparently, each night on the set, they used to check people's boots and stuff to make sure they weren't like stealing them. There's quite a few of them as well. I'm sure there's like at least 50 or so of these gremlins.
In that cinema bit, there's loads.
Yeah, yeah.
How could you hide one of them in a boot? You'd just be like walking about.
Do you mean the boot of their car?
Yeah.
Not the boot of their...
Right. I was wondering what you're on about then, Ben. The trunk of the car. Yeah.
Trunk of the car. What do you say, trunk? Come on, that's the English way of saying it. Hey, let me have a look at all of your footwear before you leave.
You're a foot taller.
Okay, number two. In the film Black Christmas, while shooting the footage for the phone call scene, the actors were actually just reacting to threatening dialogue being spoken from director Bob Clark off camera. He said stuff like, "You're silly. You're such silly billies. I'm going to get you, you silly Sallys." And then have to react to that.
It's not Michael Winslow, just offset.
False.
Yeah, false.
Well, I mean, it's okay. Well, it's true. It's true. Like, he was saying stuff to them off camera, but it doesn't go into detail of what he was saying. I added, embellished that bit. Okay, number three. In the film Jack Frost, George Clooney was originally attached. George Clooney was originally attached to the project, but left to do Batman and Robin, which he now regrets doing. True or false?
What was it? What film was he attached to?
This Jack Frost.
Oh, Jack Frost. This.
I'm going to go with false just because you didn't get through the entire question.
Well, I just realised how ludicrous it was.
To be fair, though, if you're looking at Jack Frost and Batman and Robin on an even playing field...
Yeah.
I would watch Jack Frost more often.
Same level of puns as well.
This is a trick question. I'm just going to come out and say it now. Because, yes, is it true or false, first?
I'm sticking with false.
Okay.
Yeah, false.
So it's false, but it's true if you were talking about Jack Frost that came out the year after, and with Michael Keaton ended up getting the role. Okay, number four. one actor who read for the role of Jack Frost pulled a muscle at his audition. True or false?
True. It's a very physical role.
Yeah,
false.
Exactly.
Actually, he pulled a knife during the audition. I don't know. It didn't really go into detail what happened. It just said he pulled a knife out.
Well, surely they should give him the role then. Then and there.
Ooh, you're the most like a murderer.
You're the most like a murderer and unpredictable like Jack Frost.
Yeah, as he stabs him, they're like, "You got the part."
Okay. I imagine, though, that the auditions for Jack Frost probably like in a McDonald's car park somewhere.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Okay, so last one. So... In Krampus, when they're fighting the toys, there's like a bear type toy, and I don't remember what's her face, stabs it in the eye and she throws it down a laundry chute or something. If you listen closely, you can hear the bear do the Wilhelm scream. True or false?
Oh. Yeah, true.
I'm going to go true. They stick that into things, don't they?
It's true, yeah. I was watching a compilation of the Wilhelm scream the other day, and I just couldn't stop laughing at how like ludicrous the scream is. I might put like a little sound effect in now just to.
Oh!
Ah! Yeah. Mental. Okay, and that's it. That's what I've got. So I guess we should just end quickly and say, out of all these films, individually, which would you recommend people watch? Start with Andy.
I'm going to say Jack Frost because you've all seen Gremlins, right? So go watch Jack Frost.
Yeah. How about you, Ben?
Yeah, Jack Frost. What the hell not? I mean, that was probably the most entertaining, ridiculous one. So, yeah, what the hell not? Black Christmas was pretty cool as well.
Yeah, Black Christmas.
Pretty good, solid sort of like slasher film and that, but yeah.
Season to be jolly.
I'd like to say Krampus, but I just don't think it does. Something about it just doesn't work. So, Jack Frost, for me, I had such a blast watching Jack Frost. It's just so much fun.
Unanimous.
Yeah. Okay, so. This show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. Become a patron over at patreon.com/HawkandCleaver. Thanks to Kovac Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to our people over at the Facebook group. That's Horror Hangout Board of Advisors. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, give us a 5-star rating, review in iTunes. Remember to hit subscribe. And thanks to my co-host Ben from A Real Horror Dude, but also thanks to a certain Christmas horror expert, Mr. Andy Conduit Turner. Thanks, man.
Thanks so much for having us, guys.
I think
Andy.
Without you, we would have been lost in this crazy world of Christmas.
No direction.
Yeah. You end up only watching good movies. Jesus.
Yeah, man, we'd love to have you back on in the new year for a film.
You got some quality ones coming up, guys. I'd love to join you for, what, Cabin in the Woods, Nightmare on Elm Street, brilliant stuff.
Cool, nice one. Okay, guys, so...
Yay, Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.